what do you see in your crystal ball when it comes to 2012? Any changes you see on the horizon, or just more of the same, especially the uncertainty part?
I think largely it's going to be more of the same. I mean, if you sort of look, as we're looking out across the year, there's kind of three or four things that we see sort of bubbling to the top, most of them fairly obvious. I mean, no secret here. One is this continued insatiable appetite for information, almost for information's sake. You know, the move to transparency has been a net plus for the government and for the taxpayer, so I don't mean to suggest it hasn't been. But there are more and more and more often redundant information requirements coming out, not just on contractors, but on agencies as well. And you get to a point of no return, and or diminished returns on the investment. And some of these are very costly and complicated and really an overload with little evident value. So I think we're going to see more and more of that as the GATT board revs up and we see the Data Act start moving through. That's sort of both for agencies and contractors. And then even in the acquisition system, more and more requests for information that you begin to wonder, well, how relevant it is and how it's being used. So that's a big deal. I mean, transparency is a huge initiative of the administration, and by and large, one that I think all of us can support. The question becomes, how far does it go and at what cost?
The idea of budget cuts at the Pentagon is something that you and I have talked about before, but I thought of you in particular this afternoon when I had Ryan Crotty and David Berteau from the Center for Strategic and International Studies in here, and they showed me a chart that they prepared. This chart is in real time, is in fiscal year 2010 dollars, and talked about contract spending and non-contract outlays. The non-contract outlays between 1990 and 2010 stayed fairly constant at around $290 billion. Mm-hmm. In 1990, we were at $158 billion in 2010 money. And in 2010, $370 billion. And Dave pointed out the fact that you and I have talked about before, which is a lot of that money is in services.
Right.
Are you expecting your members, the people you work with, to be really feeling the pain when it comes to defense cuts this coming year and in years to come?
Well, I think it's a great segue into sort of what the second piece of 2012 that we're looking at, and we're referring to it, I think, maybe as the year of the precipice. So at the global level, I think we're going to be at the precipice again fairly early, maybe first quarter or so of 2012. We have another debt debate to go through. Obviously, the 2013 appropriations process is not going to be pretty. We're almost certainly not going to have a budget by the end of September again. So that uncertainty, which is wreaking havoc with agencies and their planning and their hiring and also with the contractor community, that's going to continue. With regard to DOD, I think the most significant thing about, and I've seen David's charts, I think one of the most significant things to remember is back in the 90s, the services sector was significant, but not nearly as significant either in the general economy or in government as it is today. So clearly there's been a tremendous growth in the use of service, in the acquisition of services across government, a lot of it driven by the kind of rapidly increasing complexity of government missions and requirements. So to answer your question directly, yes, I think everybody's going to feel the pain. It's inevitable. When programs are reduced, when spending on programs is reduced or programs are cut, there's an immediate and automatic effect felt by those companies that are providing whatever kind of support it might be to that program or to that mission. But at the same time, it's still a large, very large marketplace. So I don't think it's not a sky is falling time, but like everybody, the contractor community is feeling it and will continue to feel it. And we're already seeing it manifest itself in more conservative hiring decisions. I'm concerned about investment in R&D, investment in people, and so forth. It's how the government's buying is actually exacerbating this problem. And that really then raises questions about how do you get the kinds of innovations in place that really can drive sustainable savings or real optimize mission requirements and so forth. So there's a whole circular set of impacts of that I think are very real for the government and obviously for industry.
Something that I know that is on the radar screen at the Pentagon, and I talked about it with Secretary Lynn before he left office, is the idea of consolidation in the industry. The last time we went through a budget shrink like we're expecting to see over the next several years, that happened, and the idea of it happening again is something that DOD is not real excited about because there are not that many huge players anymore, and they're looking for a lot of competition. What do you think we'll see? I mean, because we're already hearing some rumors and seeing a few small deals when it comes to M&A. What do you think we'll see this coming year when it comes to that?
Well, I think, you know, the general supposition is correct. I mean, the market conditions would suggest that you're going to see substantially increased M&A activity for a very simple reason. Companies can only grow by buying contract space because there's not that much organic capability, organically new opportunities to if you're, particularly if you're a larger company, to meet your growth objectives. So that dynamic clearly is in place. I think two things. One, at the very large platform provider level, DoD has sort of signaled that they're really not interested or inclined to support more mega mergers of like we saw some in the 90s. I sort of lived through a lot of that at DoD. So what we see there, I think, is going to be interesting to watch how companies strategically position themselves differently and what have you, or what they spin off, how the conflict of interest rules that are now in place that were not in place back in the 90s might affect some of the acquisitions, and so forth. So at the platform level, there's a number of dynamics. And in the services sector, which includes a lot of the platform players, of course, we would expect to see some increased M&A activity, but there's two quick factoids. Just first of all, there were fewer deals in 2011 than there were in 2010, and there were fewer deals in 2010 than there were in 2009 in our sector. So one would say, well, that's sort of counterintuitive given where the sort of the resources on the market were going.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I do think, and I hear this from a number of folks, that while there's a fair amount of activity, and I do think it'll pick up, I'm not suggesting it won't, there remains a fairly significant divide between buyers and sellers. How do you value a company in an uncertain market? It's very difficult to predict and to value, and that's, of course, at the end of the day, the essence of a merger or an acquisition deal is getting an accurate sense of the value of the company that's being acquired. So there are some challenges in there. It's not, I don't think it's an automatic that we're going to see it roll out really rapidly.
We're almost out of time, and so I need a real short answer, and I know that's not your specialty sometimes, my friend.
I got a real short last one for you.
Is that space because potential sellers are overvaluing their companies, or is it because the buyers are undervaluing them, or is it someplace in the middle?
It goes both ways.
Okay.
And last thing to put in your mind, 2012 is the year of the acting. We're going to have a lot of acting officials, and that'll raise questions about how much activity can take place.
Now, that's something that after the first of the year, you should come back and talk with me more about the implications there, Stan.
My pleasure.